sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way?
Action Radio.
Talking about
me and the media.
I've got so much honey, the bees envy me. I've got a sweeter song than the birds in the trees. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way?
Action Radio. Action Radio.
Talking about
being the media.
Okay, I'm going to be speaking English now, doing the struggle news report for the last week. What has been going on in Korea?
Has been going on in Korea.
The War Resisters International organized a big event going on the last week from May 10th up until May 16th, when they had a concert on the 16th Saturday here in Seoul. Jeff, who just introduced himself, attended part of the event last week for about 3 days. Is that right, Jeff?
I was there for about, I was involved in about 5 days of activities, I guess.
Okay. It's like a whole week.
Yeah, like a whole week long. And on the 15th, the War Resisters International had the International Day on Conscientious Objection here in South Korea. And the Conscientious Objectors movement here in South Korea has been growing and getting larger. In the past, I guess, all throughout the 20th century, basically since the 1939, there have been more than 10,000 Jehovah's Witnesses who have actually dominated the movement. And more than 10,000 of these Jehovah's Witnesses have gone to prison for their objection to military service.
In Korea.
And that's in South Korea, yes. And in 2000, there was someone named Oh Tae-young, who is a pacifist and a Buddhist, who declared conscientious objection and went to prison for that. And since then, I mean, it's actually, the movement is still dominated by Jehovah's Witnesses, who I guess are doing this for religious reasons.
Every year about 1,000, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses go to prison to keep their faith.
Yeah, but this movement is starting to grow, and it's also starting to sort of branch out into non-religious people and war resistors and pacifists and people who just hate this motherfucking government. Anyway, the event last week, what happened? What did people do there at the event? Who came?
Okay, so every year since, well, I forget when it started, but it's been going on for the past couple of years at least. It's May 15th is International Conscientious Objectors Day, and every year what WRI, World Resisters International, does is they choose a country to kind of focus on. So people all around the world, when they have an event, they kind of raise awareness in their country about whatever the focus country's specific situation is with regard to militarism or conscription service, forcibly sending people into the military. And this year was Korea. Yeah. And the reason that they chose Korea was because the prior administration was preparing for a alternative non-military civil service so that people who did not want to go to the military for whatever reason could choose that kind of civil service. And that was in the works as far as politically. That was expected to be introduced maybe within this year or last year. But since Lee Myung-pak his administration came into power, that was basically scrapped.
Yeah. The Department of Defense announced that they're going to think it over.
Right, but completely back to the drawing board.
Like, yeah, we all know what it means. It means that, you know, they're not going to introduce the alternative service system.
Right, and so what was interesting at this event was most of the participants were from countries that had had that kind of across-the-board forced conscription service, and one by one, they started introducing civil services, and you could see this sort of, for lack of a better word, evolution of the political structure, and it really just seems like a completely inevitable process that the current Korean government is just kind of waiting and holding back as long as they can, keeping this very oppressive system in place. There were people from Eritrea, Finland, Israel, Germany, Macedonia, Spain. And some Japanese friends came for part of it as well.
So we heard that you had a non-violent direct action campaign on the International Conscientious Objectors Day, Friday, in downtown Seoul.
Right.
So how many people participated in the campaign?
I'd say about 20-25 people were involved in putting it together, and we did it in Insadong, which is like a traditional kind of, well, touristy, but with a traditional Korean kind of atmosphere. And so a lot of passerbys were going by, and they prepared like a 10-15 minute skit that was just sort of theatrical street theater showing the situation politically. Sort of acting it out without words, and there's someone speaking, sort of describing what was going on. And also they had a newsletter that was designed to look sort of like a newspaper that explained the significance, how Korean government is basically ignoring UN demands that they change their law, that Korean government is violating international law. Ironically, since the current head of the UN, the Secretary General, is actually Korean himself.
Yeah, I guess conscientious objection is supposed to be recognized as a human right based on religious freedom. What about that? I mean, is it a human right, and how does it relate exactly to religious freedom? Wouldn't it be a human right based on other freedoms as well, perhaps?
Well, that's a little philosophical, but there's human rights recognized, you know, by different levels of government, I suppose. But the point is, Korea has already agreed to these human rights that fall within the UN, law, and they're violating them. That's an interesting question. What does conscientiousness mean? What is a conscientious objection? Does it have to be religious? I don't think so. And so that's a very good question. Yeah. And
I wonder if it would be legitimate to say, you know, I'm engaging in conscientious objection because I'm an atheist and I don't believe in these kind of forced, you know, I don't believe in coercion or something. I wonder if that would need to be spiritualized or somehow.
Well, within the Korean anti-conscription movement, there's been a lot of identity things, where first it was Jehovah's Witnesses, and then it's become now Buddhist, Christian, and now more and more and more, what I think you see the biggest growth in is political pacifist conscientious objectors.
Yeah, and I find it really horrible that this administration is not giving the human right to conscientious objection, and not recognizing that as a human right. And that's especially because according to some opinion polls here in South Korea, I guess that a majority of people here in South Korea think that the conscientious objection should be recognized as a human right, which, you know, this government fails to recognize and is not allowing for. So I guess we're going to listen to a song here now. What song are we listening to, Dope?
I don't know.
How much should we emphasize experimentation? Experimentation as an idea. As an idea.
Oh, baby.
Much more is what we got.
Never cross over. Me never go commercial. I'll never cross over.
Art should replace political violence. Replace political violence with cultural terrorism.
Baby.
Certain aesthetic strategies adopted by anarchists emphasize participatory creation, and erode the border between the spectator and the artist. Indie Media provide any member of the community who has access to certain technologies the ability to report on current events. In these forms, at best, the audience is integral to the experience because they determine it by being it.
Oh, baby.
One cannot confront a master narrative without telling a better story. That's scandalous.
So what happened all last week at this event anyway? Were there workshops? I know a lot of people came.
So what happened was, from the 10th, there was a sort of nonviolent training workshop where people got together and basically talked about their country's situation. They did sort of skill sharing. There's sort of brainstorming exercises on what are the different obstacles to fighting against conscription service. Really interesting aspects were the differences within different countries. For example, Israel still has a fairly serious conscription system going on. It's actually, compared to Korea, though, quite easy to avoid it. You can get out of it for medical or other reasons quite easily, from my understanding. So people who do go to jail for this do so as a political statement, and one of the participants was a woman from Israel who had a lot to talk about that. Also, there was a German young man who, now in Germany they have alternative military, non-military alternative civil service, but what he was doing for his non-military civil service was interning at War Resisters International. So that was a pretty amazing thing to see, people doing anti-military activism for their non-military civil service duty. Let's see, what else? Well, that's all I can remember at the moment.
Okay.
What about Daejeon?
Well, you know what? Let's wrap up this news on the conscientious objectors event here that was put on by the War Resisters International. One thing that I got to say, which is my own personal opinion, is that the International Day on Conscientious Objection was set for May 15th, 2009 by War Resisters International. I think that should be every day.
Oh, and another thing that I learned, I had never ever thought about before, but people were saying Being a conscientious objector of the military is not something that just men who are subject to conscription service should be able to do. They should be able to call themselves. Anyone can actually be a conscientious objector, even if you're from the United States, even if you're a woman and you don't have to face those choices of military jail. You can still identify yourself as that and promote that and help the movement.
Well, I think that's something that we should all do. Let's listen to a song. The next song I'm going to play is called Fuck the Law, and that is by Dead Prez.
Okay, listen to it, and we'll be back.
RBG for life, stand up. Yeah. Slap a white board, snuff your landlord, smash your windows, break the camcorder, rob the corner store, bomb the precinct, choke the CO, stab the DT, pimp the system, bang for freedom. Fuck the high school, burn the prisons, ride on the record label, chump your A&R, fuck the contract, grease the AR, get your bank up, stick the banks up, break the handcuffs, invade the campus, steal some pamphlets, smash the cameras, punk the police, grab his hammer.
You wonder why we feel like fuck the law, you wonder why we ride up on the wall, you wonder why we burn the cities down. We don't give a fuck, the time is now. You wonder why we feel like fuck the law. You wonder why we ride up on the wall. You wonder why we burn the cities down. Cause we don't give a fuck, the time is now.
Cock your rifle, rep your people. Fuck probation, kidnap your PO. Run the roadblocks, smash your TV. Fuck with DP, steal the CDs. Kiss my black ass, jail the judges. Hang the lawyers, ride for justice. Keep it gangsta, kill the snitches. Get rid of the middleman and control your business.
You wonder why we feel like fuck the law. You wonder why we ride up on the wall. You wonder why we burn the cities down. Cause we don't give a fuck, the time is now. You wonder why we feel like fuck the law. You wonder why we ride up on the wall. You wonder why we burn the cities down. Cause we don't give a fuck, the time is now.
Alright, now we're back. Welcome back to Struggle News in English. Now, what happened on Thursday last week, Thursday, May 14th, is there was a demonstration in Sochō in which 7 people were arrested. Now, that demonstration was in front of or around the prosecutor's office. Now, what's going on is the reason for the demonstration was because the prosecutors had a huge investigation of the Yongsan disaster that happened on January 20th. And when they had this investigation, they actually had 100 of the most elite investigators who wrote a 10,000-page investigation document on the Yongsan disaster. They interviewed people, witnesses in the area who were there during the time. They interviewed SWAT team members. They interviewed lots of different people. They interviewed people who were involved in the occupation, and they studied the location of the Yongsan disaster. And so this 10,000-page investigation document is held by the prosecutors. They were ordered by the court to allow the defense attorneys to view this document and use this document. However, after the court ordered them to release this 3,000-page document,
so that we can have a fair trial.
Yeah, for a fair trial, they refused to release 3,000 pages of that 10,000-page document, and
it's really fishy that they are hiding those 3,000 pages.
Yeah. And so the prosecutors have released about 500 pages of this 3,000-page, these 3,000 pages that they don't want the defense team to see. Now, what these 500 pages showed was that the SWAT team, the rank and order SWAT team, were not informed that there was a lot of paint thinner and flammable materials in the building when they attacked it at around in the really early morning.
Yeah, 7 a.m.
7 a.m. on January 20th. And the SWAT team, the high-ranking authorities of the SWAT team all knew about this. They didn't inform everybody else. So
the assholes put their man into the harm's way.
Definitely. And consequently, there was one cop who died and five of our comrades who got killed in that situation. And
that's really messed up.
Yeah. If the SWAT team authorities are not going to inform the rank and file SWAT team and cops about these dangerous materials and flammable materials in the building, of course they're going to do something that's going to make the whole building burn down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what happened. And that's why
attack was really stupid and really dangerous because the cops didn't know, you know, how dangerous the situation was.
Yeah, and you know, that's what happened, and these 500 pages show that it is the police's responsibility. It is these cops' responsibility, and that's exactly what they don't want us to know about. That's what they don't want. They especially don't want the defense team to know about it, because then the prosecutors won't be able to charge these 20 members of the National Evictee Alliance for the responsibility for these deaths. They're trying to charge them for being responsible for these deaths. They're claiming the court decided that the police are not responsible for these deaths. The police there's no way that there's no way that they can blame the police for these six deaths. Now what happened on Thursday, May 14th is a large number of people, maybe 100 people or so.
It was less than 100. It was around 70.
Yeah, around 70 people went to the prosecution office to demand
the immediate release of those hidden, materials. We want to see those fucking, documents.
Yeah, those 2,500 pages need to be released and given to the defense team as ordered by the court.
Of course.
However,
so that's why we went to the prosecutor's office. But when we got there, the office were guarded by, thousands of police. They stopped us when we were trying to walk on the pedestrian road, and we were stopped. And so we couldn't have any kind of action there. And the cop, kept saying, if you stay here on the, street. Actually, we were not standing on the street, though. But anyway, the cops were threatening me, to arrest us, everyone. And so we tried to have a press conference because we couldn't do any other, demonstration or other political action. And there were so many, journalists and, media cameras there. So we tried to have a, press conference to, let the world know that the reason we are here is because we want to see those, 3,000 or 2,500 pages.
Yeah, so the police were harassing people and trying to arrest people as they were walking down the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because, there were too many people. It's automatically demonstration because we were walking together on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so what happened at that press conference?
So actually, we said, what we got to say during the press conference. And the press conference was about to be over, and then the cops, suddenly try to, arrest us, every one of them, the 70 people. And so people are trying to escape from the police, but then, the cop finally, succeeded in taking 7 people from us.
They arrested 7 people? And
yeah.
Who were they?
Yeah,
who
one of the arrestee was a defense lawyer. Yeah, actually, the lawyer kept saying that I'm a lawyer. He was showing his ID to the whole police. So the police know that he was a lawyer. And actually, he was, the defense lawyer for the evicted people. And so the cop told the lawyer that we know that you're a lawyer, but you still, you know, appoint a lawyer if you can't afford it. You know, the state will, you know, get you a lawyer. We don't care if you're a lawyer or whatever. That's what, you know, the police said to the lawyer and six other activists and normal citizens.
We have to get these, you know, these 2,500 pages of this investigation report need to be released to the public, or maybe if not released to the public, at least given to the defense team so that they can use it and they can have the same information of this 10,000-page investigation report that the prosecution, that the prosecutors are using to try to convict people.
Yeah.
And, you know, how are we going to do that? One thing that you can do to help people out here in South Korea is email the prosecutors and ask them to release these documents. The email address is proscorea. That's proscorea at spo.go.kr. Email these people. Tell them to release the documents. Quit trying to hide the investigation report from the defense team so that we can have a fair trial here in South Korea. That would really help us out.
Yeah, if that's too hard for you, just go to the Yongsan Coalition website, which is mbout.jimbo.net. You will find, you know, a bunch of English material about how you can, you know, participate in this campaign. You know, you can put pressure on the Korean government so that the fuckers can release the you know, material so that we can have trial. That's the basic start to get to the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we think that the whole people should participate in the movements too, so that, you know, the cops and the prosecutors and the, you know, city government and the whole state, you know, give up and, you know, apologize for the deaths of, you know, five protesters.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do is if you want to know more about what's been going on with the Yongsan disaster and the continuing sit-in struggle here at the Namildang building and also the Chopo, the Candlelight Media Center, is you can visit Korea Indie Media's website and read about that in English. We're going to go ahead and listen to another song. And what should we listen to?
Yeah, just listen to the music that we're going to play.
One is too many. Right? And a thousand never enough.
So I guess I broke every bone in the closet as the skeleton hung next to the coat in the prom dress. So I guess I choked on the hope of a prophet, or a prophet from hoping I would choke on the vomit. So I guess I lost all my will to stay afloat, cause by tomorrow day we'll only make like a racist joke. I have no more excuses, not another murder victim, and all I have is this pad of yellow journalists. Strum those strings till the trombone brings all the muscle from a drummer who can drum those things. Hour to hour coverage of seductress and deathbed as the government continues fucking with my rent check. Idiot boxes killing me off. I need the remote quick. Someone pretty is on, and I need to flip the channel to see her bounce and flirt while the rest of TV land is simply bound to her. The sound of words is not required when she's getting naked or fully clothed, fully soaked and wet in place. Forget this state, it's network racist. We prefer the cable bills to heat so we don't forget to pay it. I'd rather be colder than Walt's casket than Miss TNT's newest oldie cult classic. The fault lands on the racist, able, basic cable. Give me more lies, cause one ain't gonna make me stable. So I guess I broke every bone in the closet as the skeleton hung next to the coat and the prom dress. So I guess I choked on the hope of a prophet, or a prophet from hoping I would choke on the vomit. So I guess I lost all my will to stay afloat, cause by tomorrow day we'll only make like a racist joke. I have no more excuses, not another murder victim, and all I have is this pad of yellow journalism. These pages are yellow, age just a day. Roughly played, the cake's oven made, so come have a taste of the mess us have made. Broken jaws lay among the token smog. On the back of Newsweek is where I wrote this song. Like Princess Diana drives to dive camera, smashed into a tunnel, provide our eyes ammo. They trapped my heart in that curbside paper box. I hate to break the lock, but damn, they tried to take my coffee. How dare they tag me as just another reader? I mean, give me a map, I know exactly where the Middle East is. There's nothing there beneath the love affair. Civil union cripples Cupid, afraid of
party's cause got lost with my invite. I guess I broke every bone in the closet as the skeleton hung next to the coat and the prom dress. So I guess I choked on the hope of a prophet, or the prophet from hoping I would choke on the vomit. So I guess I lost all my will to stay afloat, cause by tomorrow day will only make like a racist joke. I have no more excuses, not another murder victim, and all I have is this pad of yellow journalism.
Welcome back to Struggle News here in South Korea.
Yeah, now, Korea Indie Media and Yongsan Coalition.
Oh, yes. Now, on Saturday, what May 16th, yeah, we had a few things happen here in South Korea.
Really?
There is a religious pilgrimage, or I don't know if we should call it a pilgrimage or not, but it's basically a bunch of people who have been traveling from Jinlisan, all the way from Jinlisan, and what they're doing is something called Ochetuji.
Yeah.
And what Ochetuji is when people walk three steps and then bow all the way to the ground. I mean, from, I don't know exactly how it goes, but like down to the knees and then all the way till people are lying right on the ground.
Yeah, the five parts of your body should touch the ground. That's what Ochetuji is all about.
Yeah, Ochetuji is a way of marching.
Yeah,
people have
your
been marching.
Your forehead, your two hands, your two legs too.
Yeah,
yeah.
People have been marching all the way from Jinlisan, and on Saturday they were
Jinlisan, yo.
Yeah, all the way from Jinlisan. Now on Saturday they were coming up to Seoul from around Gwacheon.
Yeah,
and that was the 103rd day of this march up to Seoul. And
so yeah, actually when it started, it was a religious thing, but you know, like activists and normal citizens joined in this and it evolved as a social movement.
Yeah.
It's not religious pilgrimage anymore.
Yeah, it was originally called something, it was like a religious pilgrimage, and it was initiated by three different religious leaders.
Yeah.
A Catholic priest, a Buddhist monk, and another Catholic priest.
Yeah, with a slogan of, you know, life and peace is important. We have to save lives, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it was also taking opposition against the Lee Myung-bak administration's policy on a river, some kind of river development project that's been going on.
Yeah, the whole stupid canal, you know, making shit.
The canal which they're making up in Incheon somewhere.
And four other major rivers, too.
Yeah. Now the police, when the pilgrims or the marchers, the people doing Ochetuji came to Seoul, the police tried to keep them from coming to downtown Seoul. They were using shields to shove the marchers, and
but they didn't stop.
Yeah, or sometime in the afternoon, they actually just did a complete crackdown on the whole crowd that was marching up towards the downtown Seoul, and they basically smashed the whole march and ruined it.
Yeah.
And on Monday, people came back to do Ochetuji around here in Yongsan around 2 o'clock or so.
Yeah. They finally arrived in Yongsan, and everyone participated in the Ochetuji, stopped at Yongsan, and they did 108 bows all together to commemorate the five people who died during the massacre. And actually, it was the day of Gwangju Massacre Day, which happened back in 1980, where, you know, the government, you know, killed thousands of, you know, Gwangju people, you know, who were fighting for the democracy of the country.
Yeah. And on that same day that it was the anniversary of the Gwangju massacre was on Saturday, May 16th. And on that same day...
No, it was Monday, 18th.
Is oh, really? The,
yes.
Oh, okay.
It's not the Saturday, it's a... May 18th is the day of the Gwangju Massacre Day.
Oh, okay. Well, according to some reports on the internet, it said that it was Saturday. Anyway, the in commemoration of this Gwangju uprising in 1980, and also in order to demand labor rights and better wages and better working conditions, the KCTU, that is the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, alongside the Korean Cargo Transport Workers Union, that is the KCTWU, organized a rally in Daejeon. And Daejeon is about an hour south of Seoul. And this rally was held in front of the Daejeon government's complex in Nanmun Square. And that was there was about half the people attending the rally were from KCTWU, that is the Cargo Transport Workers Union. And they announced that they were having a strike soon. About 15,000 workers and unionists attended this rally. And as soon as the Cargo Transport Workers Union announced this strike, thousands of riot cops were sent from Seoul. These were not riot cops from Daejeon. They were sent from Seoul. Thousands of them were sent to attack the rally. They were using clubs and water cannons to attack people. And that was around the time when the rally stopped and many of the unionists and workers started marching in the streets. Also, many of them were just trying to go home. Many of them were just trying to eat some food together after this rally. And the police just started attacking people, arresting people. And ultimately, about 150 workers and police were injured, seriously injured. And about 457 workers were legally kidnapped by the police. I mean, they were arrested.
And they are being tortured right now by the police.
They are still being held. And the police are basically just trying to crack down on this strike that's going to happen. A lot of people are estimating or thinking that a major conflict is going to happen between, you know, unions, organized labor, and the government coming up, a major conflict. Because this is a war going on with the police just cracking down like this.
It's like worse than waterboarding.
Yeah. Yesterday, on Monday, May 18th, a whole bunch of Roman Catholics came to Yongsan for Mass. Every day here in Yongsan, there is a Catholic, Roman Catholic Mass around 7 p.m. And it's held here to commemorate the lives of the five comrades who were killed by the police in the Yongsan disaster. Now, one thing I got to say is that if you're a Roman Catholic, come have Mass in the street in Yongsan every day at 7 p.m. That would be great if you did that.
Yeah, the reason that the Roman Catholic priests came to Yongsan in so many numbers is that yesterday was the anniversary day of Gwangju Massacre.
Yeah.
Not Saturday. All right. Okay. It's English news of the media redevelopment.
Hold on a minute, Dope. I got one more thing to say in this.
Go ahead.
Struggle news in English. I got one more thing to say. Here in Yongsan, around 10:40 a.m. or maybe 10 a.m. People said 10 a.m. A whole bunch of gangsters that are hired by these construction companies like POSCO, Samsung, and Hyundai, and they all came here to
not Hyundai though. Daerim.
And they all came here to the Namildang building where the sit-in struggle is happening. And they tried building a fence. Well, they started building a fence around this building, and they're basically just trying to continue with the eviction that they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to evict people. They're trying to smash the struggle that's going on here. And they started building a fence. A whole bunch of police were here, a lot more than usual.
Yeah.
And that's for sure. There was also a lot of police from the intelligence agency or the intelligence department who were standing way down the street just staring at everybody. And also a few of them came up here. And
homicides were there too. Narcotics were there too.
What?
Homicide. Cops, you know, not just intelligence, you know, fuckers, but the narcotics division. homicide division.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Then there was...
The
yeah,
whole police department came here as if we were like criminals.
Yeah. They built this fence around the back of the building and around the side of the building with a whole bunch of police down there to make sure that that happened. And
if you have been listening to this action radio, that you will know that this kind of thing happened, you know, like 2 days a week, three times a week, you know. So just if you have time, just come to Yongsan and see for yourself. We're going to upload all the images and photos on the website, Yongsan Coalition website, and also Korea Indie Media website.
And the members of the National Evictee Alliance were making announcements in a loudspeaker in this loudspeaker car that's parked in front of the Namildong building.
Yeah, because people need to know what's going on. Yeah, so the Jeonchareom members, the protesters, announced the news about what's going on, the thugs building fence and the police protecting them through the loudspeakers.
For sure. And when they were announcing this in the loudspeakers, the police captain the captain of the Seoul police threatened to take these loudspeakers off of the car, and he claimed that that was some kind of violation of demonstration or somehow illegal to be announcing things out of a loudspeaker. The cops do that all the time.
Yeah, they're always announcing everything things. Is illegal.
Yeah, so there's another way that they're trying to, the police are trying to clamp down and restrict our freedom of speech. Yeah, they were threatening to do that. But of course, I mean, I hope that there's no law here in South Korea that gives them the ability to legally do that, to be stealing loudspeakers off of cars.
They don't give a fuck about the law. They are the fascists.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And so that's what happened today.
The cops don't give a fuck about democracy.
One thing that's really important about this is, they're trying to build this fence all the way around the building. Someday, they're going to try to build the fence in the front of the building and try to evict everybody in the sit-in struggle.
But we are never going to let them do that.
We can't let that happen. Please come here to Yongsan, meet people, talk to people, try to see what you can do to help out.
Find giraffe.
And we're going to keep this from happening. We're going to continue this occupation and the sit-in struggle.
Hell yeah. Giraffe going to be here 24/7 from now on. He's not going to the class anymore. His professors, they like his action here in Yongsan. So please join.
Yeah, I hope so. That's going to happen. All right.
Okay, what else do you got?
I am pretty much done. What else is going on here in Korea? What's going on here in Seoul next week?
I don't know, but one thing for sure is that this Saturday we are having another big demonstration too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, every Saturday, Yongsan, we have demonstrations.
Definitely. And so come to the demonstration on Saturday. Why are we having this demonstration?
Because we don't forget about the tragic deaths of five people, and also we are trying to revolutionize the whole world. That's why we try to have demonstrations so that people come to Yongsan and see the true nature of the police and the state.
Definitely come to Yongsan, see it for yourself. This is not just the Yongsan revolution. We got to have this kind of movement, this kind of struggle in every neighborhood, every village, every town, every city, every country, everywhere, all around the world.
Yes,
that's the only way we're gonna win.
We are everywhere.